蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
Love your neighbor， 爱你的邻舍。每次这么说的时候，总会让人联想到的是住在你家隔壁的那户人。但是圣经上说的爱邻舍，更好的翻译会不会是爱你身边的任何一个人呢？这里是良友电台的中英双语节目蓝天绿洲 Haven Today， 我是乐心。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, where we're sharing the great story that's all about Jesus, and we're starting a new series this week called Love Your Neighbor. And while I'm broadcasting today from Manila, there are two things that are clear about life in North America these days. First, the world around us seems to be growing less Christian. One of the fastest growing religious groups is the nuns, those who don't identify with any religion in particular. But second, loneliness is at an all-time high. Suicides are skyrocketing. Our culture is growing more secular, but secular beliefs offer no hope. In these next few minutes, I want to meet up with Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. She was a tenured professor at Syracuse, a leading thinker in feminist and queer, in quotation marks, studies. But after running into what she thought were angry Christians at gay pride parades, she decided to investigate their perceived hatred.
So I embarked on a book on the religious right. I was concerned and I was frightened. And I didn't understand why basically people like you hated people like me.
That's Rosaria Butterfield. And in a moment, I want you to hear how the Lord met her when she was on a university campus. It wasn't through an evangelistic rally. It wasn't through an apologetics book. No, God used an invitation to dinner from a humble couple who lived out the gospel. Stick around. I think you'll be blessed to hear how she met Jesus.
邀请人来家里吃饭，边吃饭边聊天，以这种再轻松不过的方式认识彼此，表达关心。我不知道在你的教会里是否有弟兄姐妹常常做这样的事情呢？上一次你透过一些享用食物来鼓励肢体又是什么时候的事呢？今天 Charles 采访的嘉宾就是在被邻居邀请共享晚餐，经历到被关爱的真实体验之后，认识并且信靠了耶稣基督。也许这并不是我们信主的过程，但是想想看，如果我们哪一天邀请朋友来家里吃饭，或者呢接待这个朋友短住几天，那么在这几天的相处过程中，我们用爱心的服侍见证了基督的爱，并且因此而传了福音，最终令那个人信主了的话，这不也是一件非常美好的事情吗？一首诗歌之后，就让我们来听听 Charles 对嘉宾 Rosario 的采访。
Haven Today opens now with Mariah Peters and Know Us by Our Love.
She had nothing but a heart of gold and a trailer home. She opened the screen door and fed the poor. This is all she knows. We are the sisters that reach for the hurting. We are the brothers that fight for the weak. These are the hands that lead the world to Jesus. Oh, they'll know us by our love, not the way we raise our hands. No, love is abandoning our own plans.
Welcome to Haven Today. We come to you from the west coast of the United States, California to be exact, but we're going today to Durham, North Carolina, the home of Duke University, but it's also the home of Rosaria Butterfield, who's never been on the program before. Rosaria, I feel like I know you. Welcome for the very first time to this program that's all about Jesus.
Thank you so much, Charles. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be with you today.
I had to have you on because a few weeks ago at the office, a book with a green wrapper showed up. The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Now, that got me to open it. But then the subtitle, Practicing Radical Ordinary Hospitality in Our Post-Christian World. Now, I know you and your husband, a pastor, happen to believe in hospitality. Let's just get started. Why hospitality? What does that have to do with the gospel?
Right. Well, you know, this book holds my heart really more so than any other, because I have lived this from both sides of the fence. And I know that I am saved by grace alone. And I know it is through the hearing of the word. But I will tell you that had I not spent 10 years living the word with Ken and Floy Smith, who were my neighbors and a local pastor, I never would have been able to taste and see that the Lord is good. So I think hospitality is at the heart of the gospel. But I don't think when I say hospitality, the rest of the Christian world tracks with what that is.
We need to get into that and how the Lord used hospitality to bring you to faith in Christ. You were an English professor at Syracuse University, a prestigious school. Tell us your story.
Right. Yeah, I was a professor of English and women's studies, and I was also one of the leaders in queer theory, which is a post-structural, post-modern form of gay and lesbian studies. And I was also very happily partnered to a woman who was a professor of psychology, and I had just finished my tenure book, and I wanted to write something that was a little closer to my heart than the book I wrote for tenure. So I embarked on a book on the religious right. I was concerned, and I was frightened, and I didn't understand why basically people like you hated people like me.
Let's pause just for a minute here. You even say this in your book, and many of our listeners may not quite understand this, but you said, Christians just scared me to death. Yeah. We don't always think that we scare people to death when we're Jesus followers.
Right. No, I know that. I know that. And you know, I don't think that when I was a gay rights activist, I thought I scared Christians to death. You know, I think that we all could probably do a little better job of listening to people across our worldview divides. And I think we can understand, in some ways, maybe we can understand why. I mean, if you have a worldview that stops, you know, that literally stops after life on earth, makes no claim for anything beyond this, social justice has to be your God. How could it not be? If you do not have a Christian world and life view, there is no way that suffering is redemptive. And this was New York, and this was during one of the scariest waves of the AIDS crisis, back when AIDS was called the gay cancer. You know, I remember being at gay pride marches and seeing churches with signs up that said, you know, AIDS is God's curse on homosexuality. So anyway, the Promise Keepers came to town, and I don't know what they did. Maybe my favorite parking spot was taken that day. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a terrible thing, but I ended up writing an editorial for a New York newspaper, and the title of it was "The Promise Keepers' Message is a Danger to Democracy." Back then, I believed what the LGBTQ community believes today, and that's that freedom means license to do whatever you want, whenever you want it. In fact, we really believed that Rousseau was right, that people are born free, but in society, there's chain after chain, And of course, from a Christian world and life view, it's just the opposite. We know that through Adam, we are all born in chains, and only through Jesus Christ is there freedom. So we have two worldviews that are absolutely incommensurable apart from the blood of Christ.
Right, right. And yet that brings us together.
Right. It does. It does. And someone read my editorial, and that was Pastor Ken Smith,
who was the pastor
of the Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church. And he wrote me a letter, and I didn't know how to respond to the letter. It was actually the kindest.
He wasn't blasting you in this letter.
Oh, no.
He was loving you in this letter. And you'd never heard that from a Christian before in your life, had you?
No, that's absolutely right. Well, you know what? It was actually disarming. It was disarming because I knew he didn't agree with me. It wasn't hate mail and it wasn't fan mail, which meant I didn't know where to file this thing.
And yet, wasn't he even in that first letter offering you and extending hospitality?
Well, yes. He invited me over to his home for dinner to talk about these things more fully. And as a member of the gay community at that time, you know, gay communities are quite given to hospitality. Mm. That's in some ways where I learned how to practice hospitality. In the gay community, someone's home was open every night of the week for food and fellowship and just standing between you and, you know, and anything, drugs, suicide, pornography. I mean, all people struggle with the same bag of problems. Mm-hmm, and our homes were open daily. And so this idea of going into someone's home seemed really normal. I mean, that was the mm-hmm. one of actually many things I discovered that Ken and his dear wife Floy and I had in common. And that one dinner led to two and three. And I was at their table at least once a week for 2 years.
You were a
before
regular.
Ever. I was a regular. And I wasn't the only ragamuffin regular there. All kinds of people walked through that door. Now, it was different. It was different than my home because they would open this Bible and they would talk you through it and talk about it and kind of wrestle with it. And, you know, they weren't treating it like a museum piece. It was okay to open it on the dinner table with the coffee right next to it. It was fascinating.
And yet they weren't trying to hit you over the head with that Bible either.
No.
They weren't trying to use some program where they had the plan, the pitch already in mind of how they were going to get you to pray the sinner's prayer at the very first meal.
No, I was not a project.
They loved you.
Yeah, they did. And I loved them. And they were themselves. They didn't put on a show for me. One of the things that they would do at their home was sing psalms. And that was one of the most disarming experiences because I'm a music person. I went to music school for a year before discovering philosophy and literature, and I love it. And the music was absolutely beautiful, four-part a cappella singing in harmony, beautiful. And the words were just, I don't know. I mean, the word at the time, I would have told you they were disgusting. You know, it was powerful. It was one of the first of many times that I felt that way, that I just couldn't put my finger on it. But this was the most disarming house and the most disarming people I knew. And they loved me and they loved me well. And even though I mocked them, I was reading the Bible. And during that time, I was reading it for the purpose of critiquing it. And during that time, I taught thousands of college students to despise the Bible. I mean, I was the enemy and they loved me and they kept loving me. And then one day, the gospel just got to be bigger inside me than I. And when I became a Christian, it's not that I stopped feeling like a lesbian. That's not true. I was never converted out of homosexuality. I was converted out of unbelief.
Mm.
But on that day, I knew one thing for sure. Jesus is who he says he is, and he's alive. And the word of God is living too. And I really wanted for God to hear my prayers, and I wanted him to pour into my life this thing called grace and truth and purpose and eternity. So everything changed and nothing changed. And it was like that for a while, and the church was still there. Mm. So hospitality wasn't an event. You know, it wasn't like one of those occasional poems in the 17th century with a title longer than most paragraphs today. You know, not at all. It was not like it was regular. It was transparent. It involved both the strangers at the table like me and the family of God also. When I walked through the door of the church, it was not unfamiliar. I'd seen most of those people at Ken Smith's dinner table.
And Rosaria, thank you for doing something else as well. You didn't write a new book where you give me 12 steps that if I just follow these things in offering hospitality. You wrote a different kind of book than that. This is a book about hospitality is a way for grace to flow through your life, God's grace to others through us.
Even your messy life, even your life, maybe, let's put it this way, maybe especially your messy life. Mm. You know, maybe people in your neighborhood don't really care very much or think very much about where God is in your prosperity, but maybe they are more intrigued by the question of where is God in your suffering? You know, see, we all can handle prosperity, but we can't, we all can't handle suffering. That is a cruel taskmaster without the kind company of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Rosaria Butterfield, I wish we had more time. We're going to have you back on the program a little bit more every day this week. But would you mind leading us in prayer right now that grace would flow through all of us to reach out to the unloved and invite them into our homes and into our lives?
I would be honored. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that when we were strangers and enemies, that you rescued us. Lord, how unable we were to even see ourselves clearly. And even now we look through a glass darkly. But Lord, how we thank you that you've called us, that you've saved us, that you have equipped us, that you have blessed us. How thankful we are that you have given us this word of God that is a mirror to both you and to ourselves, that we know ourselves as we read it and we know you as well. And how thankful we are, Lord, that we can trust you and that we can lean on your promises even when the facts of life just wash over us with grief and sorrow and suffering. Lord, Psalm 46 captures for us what that moment is like. And you have anticipated those moments in our life. And how thankful we are, Lord, that you have given us the body of Christ and that we belong as a family. How the blood of Christ has washed us clean. How we stand in the risen Christ alone and how we even today struggle against sin. But Lord God, how thankful we are that because of union with Christ, we can hate our sin without hating ourselves because we are found in you. So Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would use us mightily in the lives of our neighbors and in our world. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to see our homes differently, not as castles, but as embassies. We know we live in a world that is hostile to the Christian faith. We know this is a post-Christian world. Lord, we know that if things go the way they're going, we may wake up one day and be living very much like the early church in Rome. So, Lord, I pray that you would equip us to embrace those days and to share the love and the meaning and the purpose of Jesus Christ. It is in the mighty and matchless name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. thy love. Ooh. Take my silver.
A hymn of submission, a hymn of worship, Take My Life and Let It Be, sung a cappella by This Hope from their album called Edges. This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, and a special thanks to Rosaria Butterfield for joining me on the program today. She'll be back with us tomorrow to share how the Lord is using she and her husband to reach their neighbors with radical hospitality, the same way the Lord reached her through that humble couple. And I don't know about you, but her story is so encouraging to me. I said this at the beginning of the program. This old world seems to be getting darker by the hour, by the day at least. But the more our culture runs from God, studies are showing people are becoming more depressed and lonely. But even though our society is growing more secular, secular beliefs won't give you any hope. And that's what I appreciate about Rosaria Butterfield's new book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Don't you like that? It's the story of her conversion to Christ as a backdrop. And then she invites us to meet her pastor husband and their adopted children and look into their busy lives. But through it all, you'll read stories on how God uses hospitality to bring the gospel to their lost friends and neighbors.
福音的好消息就是要把上帝爱人和上帝拯救人的信息告诉别人。可是你有没有感到奇怪过呢？为什么有的时候当我们从头到尾的讲完了福音的信息，或者呢解释完福音桥五色珠之后，对方一点反应都没有？当你等着对方做出什么点回应却什么都没有等到时，你会继续的追问，刚刚所讲的你听明白了吗？有什么问题吗？对方还是摇摇头。你有没有想过为什么会这样呢？在今天的采访当中，我觉得很受感动的就是 Rosaria 说的，对方的热情款待是很真实的，他们没有把和他吃饭、关心他当成是一项任务去完成，也没有把这整个过程当成是一个程序去执行，好像执行完了某一个小任务之后呢，就可以在后面打个勾，然后再继续去完成下一个小任务。也许福音的核心就真的如同 Rosaria 说的，是热情款待。你邀请对方加入上帝恩典的宴席，邀请对方进入上帝怜爱的关系，这个关乎的都是爱心。圣经的教导是要让我们爱罪人，恨恶罪，让很多时候甚至可以说大多数的时候，教会表现出来的却是爱罪恨恶罪人，恰恰是相反了。什么时候我们对罪人持有冷漠 拒绝和对抗的态度时，什么时候我们就和法利赛人没有差别了。以前乐心会很稀奇，为什么四福音书里面有那么多的篇幅记载了耶稣和法利赛人之间的故事。耶稣是极力的抵抗法利赛人的教。今天有多少的信徒是犹太人中的法利赛人呢？然而今天能够成为法利赛人的人，可能他是神学院的学生，也可能他是信主长达10年的信徒，还有可能他就是像你我一样，是一个固定参加教会聚会的人，也加入了一两个服事的普通信徒。应当是我们没有看见自己眼中的梁木，却盯住了别人眼中的木屑时，我们在表达福音的事情上就是失败了。假冒伪善是基督徒需要特别注意的，我们容易对别人假冒伪善，也容易欺哄了自己，对自己假冒伪善，甚至我们还以为我们可以骗得过上帝，对上帝假冒伪善。但是神的福音是让我们看见他的爱与他的拯救，是帮助我们脱离罪的捆绑，帮助我们认清我们真实的境况，那就是我们的生命需要他。我们一切所追求的是被爱、被接纳、充满喜乐、平安、自由，而这一切呢，都来源于他。在神的面前，我们不需要戴着面具，不需要呈现出某个角度的我们，也不需要防御，不需要掩盖。同样的道理，当我们敞开家门来迎接朋友做客，我们不是为了热情而热情，也不是为了招呼而招呼，我们就是做我们自己，把从上帝那里领受到的爱分享给还没有品尝过他慈爱的人。仔细的想想，有时候还真是不容易做到呢。如果呢，只是靠着自己的一腔热情，很快我们就会受到挫折，半途而废了。唯有靠着圣灵的力量，靠着神的恩典，我们才能够打开自己的生命，欢迎别人进来参观。这个就是今天蓝天绿洲要和你分享的全部节目内容了，是我们第一节来讲 Love your neighbor， 爱你的邻舍。谁是你的邻舍呢？这个问题在我们信主了之后，可能我们会觉得有一个标准答案，但是有没有可能你今天挑战自己，却把身边的每一个人，与你擦肩而过的每一个人，都当成是你的邻舍，当成是你要向他去表达上帝的爱的对象呢？如果你听完今天的节目之后有任何回应的话，欢迎发送短信到13229966122，短信的开头请注明蓝天。乐心和 Charles 呢，就在明天的同一时间和你分享第二集《爱你的邻舍》。愿神祝福你，拜拜。
She had nothing but a heart of gold and a trailer home. She opened the screen door and fed the poor. This is all she knows. We are the sisters.